The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
This morning we read sacred scripture in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 32. Verse 1 informs us of the persecutions of Saul. As we read deeper into the chapter, we learn of Saul's conversion from a persecutor to a preacher, even so much that he will be persecuted for his preaching. But with the conversion of the great persecutor, we read in verse 31, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." Now the Spirit turns our attention to Peter. Verse 32, "And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord." Now there was at verses 36 through 42 are the texts, which I will not reread. "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha," which by interpretation is called Dorcas. "This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner." Thus far we read the divinely inspired, infallible, sacred scripture. The text is Acts 9, verses 36 through 42. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, the Holy Bible takes us into the city of Joppa. Joppa was a seaport town located along the Mediterranean Sea in Judea, just south of the border with Samaria. You will probably recall that the Old Testament prophet Jonah, when fleeing from God and God's command to him, boarded a ship in Joppa. Joppa was a busy seaport town, many goods and travelers coming through the town. In fact, it was the way out of the Mediterranean into Judea and toward the capital, Jerusalem. Everything came through the port of Joppa. Very busy city. There was in that city, though, most notably, a Christian community. Probably not yet a fully instituted church of ruling elders and deacons and a pastor, but there was a gathering of believers in the beginnings of a congregation. The existence of this believing community in Joppa was due either to the Spirit's work through the preaching of Philip, who had been laboring in the area, according to Acts chapter 8, or it was the result of the persecutions of Saul, for many believers fled out of Jerusalem into some of the outlying cities, including perhaps Joppa. We know at the time of the events of the text, Peter was only about 10 miles away in the city of Lydda, where he was preaching the gospel to the unconverted and also going around strengthening these new young communities of believing Christians. There were believers in Joppa. Now, as we go into the city of Joppa this morning, we meet a woman who was created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that she should walk in them. She was the handiwork of God. She was a ruby, a jewel of great price. She was a spiritually beautiful woman. Her name in the Aramaic, Tabitha. The inspired writer informs us that the Greek form of her name was Dorcas. Tabitha. Tabitha means roe, doe, gazelle. In fact, there's even an animal called a Dorcas gazelle. Gazelle, that is beautiful, lovely, pleasant. For the young, sleek, wide-eyed gazelle was an emblem of beauty. Tabitha. How often do we not read in the Song of Solomon, "My beloved is like a roe, like a gazelle. My beloved is like a Tabitha, like a Dorcas," which is to say, my beloved is beautiful. Tabitha's parents received this little baby girl and they named her Tabitha. And God saw to that, because God would save this woman and he would make her beautiful in all good works and use her for drawing attention to his gospel and for the development of the early apostolic church. Tabitha, a woman of spiritual beauty. This morning, three young women have made confession of faith, and we rejoice in God's goodness in making them beautiful Tabithas, and our desire is that God will continue the work he has evidently begun in you, and that you will live in the beauty of good works all the days of your life. Beautiful Tabitha. Let's consider the text this morning, taking that as our theme, the beautiful Tabitha. Noticing first her works, second her resurrection, and third her purpose. What made Tabitha spiritually beautiful was that she was full of good works. Even as a bush, a plant, a tree is beautiful, as it is full of fruit and full of flowers, Tabitha was beautiful, being full of good works. Verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman, and now notice the emphasis on doing. She was not merely a hearer of the word. She was a doer of the word. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Her works were good, meaning they were beneficial. They brought glory to God. They gave a good name to the church, and they benefited those around her. The general term good works in the text is narrowed just a bit by the following term, alms deeds. This woman was full of good works. That is, alms deeds. And those are not simply the giving of alms or the giving of offerings in a worship service, but alms deeds refers to acts of charity, works of mercy. Now that also is a very broad term, and the inspired writer tells us exactly what were the alms deeds of good works which Tabitha performed when later he tells us of the scene of her death, because Tabitha did die. Verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Coats refers to undergarments. We might think of a t-shirt. Garments refers to outerwear. We might think of a coat, a sweater, a sweatshirt, an outer robe. Tabitha used her money to buy fabric and a few needles, and she used her time and her energy to sew coats and garments for the poor, especially for the widows of the city of Joppa, no doubt making good things and doing good to all the poor in the city of Joppa, but especially to those poor and those widows who were of the household of faith. And what a beautiful Christian woman of good works Tabitha was in Joppa and to the church there. Tabitha did not need to be married to be beautiful. It appears from the text that she was a single woman, for later we read of her death and her resurrection. There's no mention of any family members. That's unusual. You think of the resurrection of Lazarus or the resurrection of the daughter of Jairus or the resurrection of the son of the widow of Nain, and Lazarus was surrounded by his sisters and the daughter was surrounded by her father Jairus and the boy was surrounded by others, including his mother. But here we read of the death and the resurrection of Tabitha, and there's no mention of any family members. Either she was a widow, or perhaps she was single, having never been married. And she didn't need to be married in order to be beautiful in the church. She was beautiful as a single woman in her good works. Tabitha didn't need to be a man to be beautiful in the church. How a young, developing congregation would thrive with a faithful pastor and wise elders and diligent deacons, but also with Tabithas. The church needs Tabithas. And Tabitha didn't think that she needed a pulpit or that she needed a seat in the consistory room. She saw her place in the church, and it was doing good works of alms deeds for the poor and the widows. She didn't need to be a man to be beautiful. Nor did Tabitha need an ostentatious station in Joppa in order to be beautiful. Her good works were of the quiet variety. All she needed was some time alone in her home under the light of her lantern, and every night, busily working with her industrious hands, she produced one coat and one garment after another, no one seeing the work she was doing. But God watched her diligent hand. And even if she were never thanked when she finally distributed the coat or the garment, she would have continued sewing because she wasn't doing it for the praise of man. She was sewing coats and garments out of her merciful heart for the poor. Nor did Tabitha need some outstanding or even extraordinary spiritual gift in connection with the word in order to be beautiful. Maybe her communication of the truth of the gospel didn't flow so smoothly off her tongue. And maybe it was hard for her to pray in the presence of other women. Maybe not. We don't know. But She was industrious with her hand and her needle. And when others might say, I don't have a place in the body of Christ, I don't have a role, I don't know how to contribute, I don't have gifts of knowledge and utterance, she saw her opportunity. There were poor. There were widows. And maybe there were widows because of the persecution of Saul. Some men lost their lives for the sake of the gospel, making their wives widows. And here some of them were in Joppa. And Tabitha saw an opportunity to make them coats and garments. She was beautiful in good works. This was her life. Verse 36 says she was full of good works. Apparently, she didn't have a family. She didn't need to devote time to family. She lived by herself, and she was full of good works, the good works of alms deeds for the poor and widows. The church would lose a great deal of her beauty if she lost her Tabithas. Imagine if God were to cut off all of the hands of all of the women of the church so that there were no female hands in the body of Christ. I don't have to mention any specifics, but you just think of all that a woman does with her hands in and for her home, and in and for the Christian school, and in and for the life of the congregation, the life of the church. And that's just in the ordinary way of things, to say nothing of all of the helping hands when some extraordinary need arises. The sheer industry of a woman is immeasurable. And the three young women who made confession of faith this morning must know that the beauty of the church includes the beauty of her Tabithas, who use their hands in charitable deeds for those in need. One needle, a few spools, a little fabric, and some diligent hands can go a long way in the body of Christ. But beloved, in order fully to appreciate the beauty of Tabitha, we must go deeper and go to the source of her good works. What makes her works truly good, as the text declares in verse 36, is their source. Tabitha's beauty was not simply that she had a natural heart of natural affection and was engaged in some humanitarian efforts of aid for the poor. These were good works, genuine good works, God-pleasing works. These were works done according to the law of God, so that they were done in love for God, and they were done in love for the neighbor. They were done aimed at the glory of God, and the source or the origin of these good works was her true faith. Her good works proceeded out of her faith. The text definitively identifies the source of these good works as true faith when it begins in verse 36 by telling us, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple. A certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works. What woman in Joppa was full of good works? This woman. Who is this woman? A certain disciple. A disciple is not only a man. A woman can be a disciple. And a disciple is not merely someone who literally followed Jesus Christ in Judea, Samaria, and Galilee, listening to his preaching and observing his miracles. And a disciple is not merely someone who is associated with Jesus Christ, as you might be involved in some business association. According to John 15, as a branch belongs to a tree, a disciple is an elect sinner united to Jesus Christ through the vital spiritual bond of faith, so that the disciple believes in Jesus. And because of that vital covenantal union between the disciple and the Master Jesus Christ, which union is sovereignly established by God the Holy Spirit, the disciple enjoys harmony with Master Jesus, fellowship with Jesus, union with Jesus, communion and peace with Jesus, and therefore with God. Through that living connection between Jesus and the disciple, and by means of the word of the gospel, the disciple gains more and more knowledge of and more confidence in her resurrected Lord, who is her sacrifice, who is her atonement, who is her righteousness, who is her sanctification, who is her redemption, who is her wisdom, who is her life, who is her everything, so that a disciple like Tabitha consciously presses deeper and deeper and deeper into the merciful, charitable, loving Master and Lord who is Jesus the Christ. You could read verse 36 this way. Now there was in the tree called Jesus at Joppa a certain branch named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This branch was full of fruit. This branch was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Her faith, her union with Christ was the source. Christ Himself is the source of her good works. Her good works were the fruit of her faith. Her beauty was not only the visible external beauty of the deeds which she did for the poor and the widows, but her beauty was a deeper inner spiritual beauty, which was Christ Himself, who dwelt richly in her heart by the Holy Spirit. She was a disciple, the text says. That means she belongs to Christ, and united to Jesus Christ, she bore fruit. That's a fundamental relationship and concept. Tabitha did not perform good works in order to become a disciple of Jesus. Her good works were not a condition unto. Her good works were not a prerequisite unto. Her good works were not a necessary means unto. Her good works were not the way unto. Her relationship with Jesus, her communion with Jesus. She did not sew coats and garments to have and to experience a relationship with her Master and Lord, who is Jesus the Christ. Rather, her good works were the fruit of her relationship with Jesus. Jesus sovereignly called her to be His disciple. He took her and brought her into His love and the experience of His love as her Savior. And the fruit of that union was that Tabitha bore fruit. She was full of good works. Her good works were not the way unto her relationship with Jesus. Her good works were the way in her relationship with Jesus. She must do good works. She is commanded to do good works. A woman devoid of good works is ugly. Hideous. Like a tree that bears no fruit is an ugly tree. Ugly because her faith is dead, which is to say she has no faith, for faith without works is dead. Tabitha was obligated to do good works. She heard the obligation to do good works, and she took it seriously. But by virtue of her identity as a true disciple of Jesus Christ, grafted into Christ by a true and living faith, it was impossible that Tabitha not bring forth the fruit of good works. She was firmly persuaded of her Savior's love for her, and she was motivated by gratitude to Him to put away her natural selfishness and to show acts of charity to others according to the power of Christ that worketh in her by the Holy Spirit. True disciples must, true disciples can, and true disciples shall bear much fruit. John 15, verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." So our desire for these three young ladies this morning is not merely that they do, but that they know. And that you grow in the knowledge of your Savior, Jesus Christ, who is your everything. And out of that faith will come the doing, the fruits of faith. And that's beautiful. Is it not beautiful? As beautiful as Tabitha was in the believing community in Joppa, God would make her even more beautiful in the eyes of the saints and widows by taking her life and then restoring her life. For you see, Tabitha died. Must have been a sad day. Verse 37. "It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber." Now, isn't that interesting? She died and they didn't bury her. It was as if they weren't willing to believe that she was gone and gone forever, as if they were holding out some hope that the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ would somehow bring her back. They didn't bury her. They washed her and they took her upstairs. And they put her corpse in an upper chamber, in an upper room. And there she was. Verse 38. "And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa," about 10 or so miles away, "and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them." They knew Peter was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and they probably heard that he had healed Aeneas. They knew he was nearby, so they quickly sent two men to go fetch Peter. Verse 39, and what a scene we have here. "Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them." Peter comes into the home, wherever it was and whatever it was, and he goes up into the upper chamber, And there are many people, especially women there, and it's pretty loud. They're weeping. They're sobbing. And here are all these widows standing around Peter, and they're saying, and look at this. And look at what she made for me. And another holds up a garment and says, and look at what she made for me. They were showing Peter who Tabitha was. This is what she meant to us. This is who this woman was. This is how large a place Jesus Christ had in her heart. And look at this garment. And look at this coat she made for me amid all the weeping. It sounds kind of like a visitation line at the funeral home, and the family's standing there grieving and the loved ones in the casket. And one person after another walks by and brings up a work. Probably a secret work. Nobody but that person ever knew about it. Let me tell you just a moment about the first time I met your husband and what he said to me. Never forget it. I remember this time your daughter, she's now in the casket. I remember this time she did this for me. All these works coming out. And God uses that to comfort the grieving. But now think, if Mary's in line and Jesus is in the casket, here comes Zacchaeus. Let me tell you about what he did for me. And here comes Bartimaeus. Have you ever heard what he did for me? And here comes Nicodemus. I have something to tell you about Jesus. All these works, one after another. There they were in the upper room, holding up the garments and the coats. And Peter says, I would like to ask all of you to leave for a bit. Verse 40, but Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. Peter came there, no doubt, seeing Tabitha having and the impact she had upon the people there, having a desire to raise her from the dead. But Peter didn't know. He didn't know if God would raise her from the dead or not. He asked everyone to leave so he could get down on his knees and pray to God, to humble himself before God and to express his desire to God that he raised Tabitha from the dead, but to make sure that his heart was pure before God and that he wasn't doing it for any praise to himself, but that he was doing it for the glory of God's name and for the well-being of the church. And so he got down on his knees and he prayed to God all by himself. And then he turned to the body, the corpse, and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And now they're going to go down the stairs, down from the upper chamber to the main floor. And they're going down. And when he had called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. It's Tabitha. And it was upon that presentation of the living Tabitha that she became even more beautiful to the saints and widows of Joppa. It's not that she was glorified. It's not that she was now radiating with the beauty of heaven like unto that glory radiating from the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, for fundamentally she was no more beautiful than she had been prior to her death. But she was dead, and they were weeping, and God brought her back to life, and now she's more beautiful to them. They appreciate her more. They value her more. We've never experienced a resurrection from the dead like unto this, but we can appreciate the eye of the beholder. If, for example, you take a mother out of the home for a little while, a few days, a week, or a mother's laying low, not able to do what she normally does, and maybe even out of sight, and then after a week or so, she comes back. And while she was gone, you recognize everything she did and you missed her presence and fellowship. And she comes back. She's the same woman she always was. But now she's more precious, more appreciated, more valuable. Tabitha didn't merely go to Jerusalem for a while or stop sewing for a few days. She died. She was a corpse. Her heart was cold. Her hands were limp. Her needle was idle. She was dead. And Joppa had to figure out how to live without Tabitha. And here comes Peter. Down from the upper chamber, having called the saints and the widows, presenting Tabitha alive. She was beautiful to them. Tabitha is back. But beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his holy gospel, is taking the resurrected Tabitha and he's presenting her to you and me this morning, alive as the fruit of his resurrection power. And is she not beautiful to you as the fruit of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? For first of all, Tabitha in this resurrection from the dead is a picture of the spiritual resurrection which occurred in her and occurs in us when new life is implanted into our hearts and we're given the power of faith. Ephesians 2 verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. By nature, Tabitha and every single one of us is spiritually dead in unbelief. We hate Christ. We cannot bear any fruit. All the works that we do are sinful and corrupt and evil, and fully so because they come out of a dead heart of unbelief. But when God raised Tabitha from the dead through Peter in that upper chamber and she was presented alive, she was being presented as a picture of what had occurred at her initial conversion, of what occurs to us when God puts life in our hearts, when God says those two words that are inaudible to human ears, Tabitha, arise! And the spiritually dead woman at her initial conversion is made alive. She's regenerated. She's quickened. That resurrection is a picture of our spiritual quickening. God is the author of our life. God is the author of our faith. God is the author of our works. Our beauty is not merely an external beauty, and it's certainly not a superficial beauty. It's not only the beauty of producing good works, but those good works have their origin in a miracle, in a spiritual resurrection from the dead. The resurrected Tabitha is beautiful as a picture of our spiritual resurrection. But then in the second place, that resurrection is a picture of our final bodily resurrection. Tabitha was raised back to life in that old, weak, frail body of the flesh. But on the last day, Jesus will come in the clouds of glory and he will say, Tabitha, arise. And she will come out of the dust with a new, immortal, glorified, heavenly body, like unto the body of Christ himself. John 5:28-29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. Now her beauty is faint. In comparison to what will be, her beauty is faint. Our beauty, your beauty, young ladies, is faint It's marred by our sins and by the infirmities of our flesh. But when our soul is made perfect in glory, and when on the last day our body is raised from the dead and becomes a new glorified, immortal, heavenly body, and our soul is reunited with that glorified body, we shall become the perfect instruments and vessels of praise to the glory of God, beautiful in praising His glory, which was the goal at which He was aiming when He elected us in Jesus Christ from all eternity, that we might be made perfect and be glorified and be heavenly in body and soul to the praise of His name. And when Peter took Tabitha and he presented her to the widows and to the saints alive, that was a foreshadowing of what Christ will do when He comes again and says, Tabitha, arise, and to all of us, arise, and brings us into the final judgment and publicly declares our righteousness and swings open wide the doors of heaven and calling all the holy angels of heaven will present us alive, glorified unto God. Tabitha served a purpose. Her purpose this morning is not so much her own intentional will, but it's God's purpose. That is, God had a purpose for Tabitha. Jesus made her beautiful as a disciple, full of good works. And Jesus, through Peter, raised her from the dead for one purpose, and that was the growth of the early apostolic church, which ultimately is for the glory of God's name. We cannot understand Tabitha, this biblical figure named Tabitha, who's also called Dorcas. We can't understand who she is, her purpose, why she is significant, unless we understand the name of the book in which we find her name. The Acts. Now, the name of this book is properly called The Acts of the Ascended Lord Jesus Christ in Heaven through His poured out Holy Spirit working in the apostles for the gathering of His church. But that name is too long to write in the Bible, so we just read the Acts. The Acts of the Apostles. But it's properly the Acts of Jesus through His Spirit in the Apostles for the gathering of His church. Tabitha is not really the main figure of the text. She's an instrument. Peter is not even really the main figure of the text. Peter is an instrument. Jesus Christ in heaven is the main figure of the text. The inspired writer Luke has written his gospel account in which he tells us of the birth, the suffering, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. You can read it in the book called Luke. And then the inspired Luke writes a second book called Acts, in which he tells us of those things which the ascended Jesus does in heaven through His Spirit in the apostles for the gathering of His church. As the church spreads out of Jerusalem to Joppa and to the uttermost regions of the earth. Now in that we find a woman named Tabitha. And her purpose. Jesus made Tabitha beautiful for His church, for the growth of His church. As Lord's Day 32 teaches, one of the benefits of good works is that by our godly conversation, others may be gained to Christ. One of the benefits of the good works of Tabitha was that as she's distributing coats and garments, she has opportunity to give answer to others who are asking her of the reason for her hope, that she may witness to the gospel of Christ and testify of her loving master, Jesus. But it's the will of Jesus to use her in an even greater capacity to get people in the entire city to know of Tabitha. And so according to the good will of God, she gets sick and she dies. That Jesus, through his Spirit, working in Peter, may come to Joppa and raise her from the dead to bring even more attention to the gospel. Verse 42. And, verse 41 says, she was presented alive. Verse 42 says, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. What had Joppa not seen? Joppa was Joppa. Joppa was the busy seaport town of travelers and goods and commerce. They had seen it all, but not one thing. A stupendous miracle. A resurrection from the dead. So Jesus, by his Spirit, working in Peter, came to Joppa to raise Tabitha from the dead. Not merely to create a wave of excitement in the house or even in the city, but to get all the inhabitants of Joppa to know of the gospel. To draw attention to the gospel and to the Christ of the gospel for the growth of the church. Miracles seal, miracles confirm that the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified for our sins and raised the third day, is not the word of man. This word of the gospel does not have its origin here on earth. This is the word from God in heaven, and miracles confirmed. This is the word of God in heaven. And so Jesus raises Tabitha from the dead. The whole city hears about it, and many believed in the Lord. Tabitha was a beautiful woman, a beautiful instrument that Jesus had fashioned for the gathering of his church. He used her to bring attention to his gospel. So, to the young ladies this morning, God has put you here and he makes you spiritually beautiful in and for his church. And that's a radical concept in an individualistic, selfish, self-centered, self-serving age, society, and culture. But you exist for the church. So you are who you are, whether you like it or not, for the body of Christ. And if God gives you a hand to sow, it's for his people. God might make us really sick. One day Tabitha got sick. Now she's lying in bed. Why am I so sick? She's getting to the point of death. Why? What did I do? Did I grievously sin against God? Am I a sinner greater than anyone in Joppa? Why am I sick? Why am I at the point of death? Why is she sick? For the church. Because God is going to raise her from the dead to bring attention to the gospel for the gathering of his church. What if you get sick? Why am I sick? Somehow, some way, it's for the church by bringing attention to the gospel. That's what it's all for. That is to bring attention to Christ. And that was beautiful Tabitha. All that we are is fashioned by God is for him and the glory of his name, for his church, for his gospel, that his church might grow spiritually in the knowledge of the gospel, and that others from the outside might hear of the witness of the gospel, and God might use even our witness to bring others to Christ. Tabitha's purpose was bigger, greater than making a cold widow warm with a coat. God was using her for this early apostolic church. And what an honor that is, and what a privilege. May God use us to bring glory to his name. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, having heard thy word now, we pray that it may be planted deeply within our hearts so that we do not merely hear it. We must. That's important that we hear it. But make us not only hearers, but doers of the word, so that we are beautiful in all good works before thy face. Make us fruitful, O God. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.